Imagine you're using an AI tool to help write a quick email, or maybe just to summarize a dense meeting you just sat through. Pretty helpful,
Oh,
right?
absolutely. It's great for that.
Right. But now I want you to scale that up. Like, imagine your entire company doing that, except it's not just a few scattered tools operating in isolation anymore.
It's a whole different ball game.
It really is. It
Yeah.
is 150,000 separate AI agents acting autonomously across the network. They are, talking to each other, escalating tickets, pulling data, making decisions. Suddenly, you're not looking at a helpful piece of software. You are looking at a chaotic, completely ungoverned workforce.
Yeah, and that shift going from an individual just using an algorithm to an enterprise deploying a legion of autonomous agents, it changes the risk profile entirely.
Right.
It goes from being this localized convenience to a systemic vulnerability in like a matter of months. And right now, the sheer illusion of short-term productivity is masking some deep infrastructural chaos just beneath the surface.
Which is exactly what we are exploring today on this deep dive. We're looking at that massive paradigm shift from casually using AI to managing an actual AI workforce.
It's happening fast.
So fast.
Yeah.
And based on a stack of recent research notes, tech updates, and industry memos we've got, our mission today is to decode how this acceleration is basically breaking current systems. We'll look at how companies are trying to enforce discipline, the staggering real-world costs of this infrastructure, and the high-stakes ethical battlegrounds where this tech is being deployed.
Because to understand the future of AI, we really have to look at how we control it today, or, well, how poorly we control it today.
Yeah, the data is pretty wild.
It is. Gartner predicts that Fortune 500 companies are going to jump from using under 15 AI agents, which is roughly where most were in 2025, to over 150,000 by 2028.
Wow. But the terrifying part is that IBM reports 63% of organizations lack any kind of formalized AI governance policies.
None at all.
None. Which brings us to a concept KPMG recently coined. They call it shadow AI.
Right, shadow AI. It's essentially an invisible IT nightmare. It happens when employees just, innovate faster than leadership can track. So you get this fragmented, invisible AI use all across your systems.
Exactly. Like if you're managing a team right now, you might think you have a handle on this because your IT department hasn't officially installed anything new.
But they're using it anyway.
Right. If your recruiter's dumping thousands of private resumes into ChatGPT and your sales lead is routing client data through a third-party enrichment tool and your finance director has Copilot wired into a dashboard, none of those systems are talking to each other. They're totally invisible.
And that creates heavily fragmented workflows. You have individual agents making micro decisions based on totally different models. It's chaos.
There's a perfect real-world example of this from the Code newsletter. A developer used a stack of AI tools, Cursor, Lovable, Bolt, to ship an entire app in just 6 months.
Which sounds incredibly successful on paper.
It was successful. The speed was amazing. But the code base became an absolute maintenance nightmare.
Because AI, in its current state, writes for immediate execution. It doesn't care about long-term maintainability. It just takes the shortest path to solve the prompt you give it.
It's like hiring an army of hyperactive interns. They build the building incredibly fast, but nobody checks if the plumbing actually connects. So when a pipe bursts, senior engineers have to step in and do strict line-by-line reviews of AI code.
Which defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating here is Marcus Sawyer's approach to fixing this. He published a five-step governance model arguing we have to treat governance as an operating system, not a brake pedal.
Oh, I like that framing. How does the five-step model work?
So first, you give an inventory where the shadow AI is already hiding.
Randall, it leaks.
Exactly. Second, you give every single workflow a clear human business owner. Someone has to be accountable.
Makes sense. What's step three?
Third is defining permissions. What can this agent actually touch? Fourth, you connect it to real workflows, not just sandboxes. And fifth, establish hard boundaries on where human approval is required before it acts.
So if we want to build that operating system and avoid the hyperactive intern plumbing disaster, we have to look at how top-tier tech companies are enforcing discipline. Which brings us to, and I love this term, taming the slop.
Yes, the blurple slot.
Right. So Lenny's newsletter broke down how Stripe is tackling this. They built an internal prototyping tool called ProtoDash, created by Owen Williams. And it specifically targets what they call blurple slop.
Which is such a great way to describe generic AI output. Because LLMs are just probability engines, right? They predict the next pixel based on the average of the internet. They don't know your specific company's brand guidelines.
So you get these uncanny valley prototypes, mismatched fonts, weird components. It's kind of purple, kind of blue blurple. It's functional, but it's slop.
Exactly. So to fix it, Stripe forces the AI through an MCP server.
Yeah, for anyone not deep in back-end architecture, think of an MCP server like a mandatory security toll booth. The AI isn't allowed to just guess what a Stripe checkout button looks like.
It has to stop at the toll booth.
Right. It stops, queries Stripe's official design system, which they call SAIL, reads the strict rules, and only then can it generate code.
It's brilliant because it grounds the AI in strict internal systems. Adi Osmani wrote about this in his agent skills concept. He pointed out that AI coding agents will naturally skip the tedious senior engineering work unless you hard code that discipline into them.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, the human element. Owen Williams has this rule for AI. Be specific. And if you get frustrated, just slash clear and start over. Avoid the sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah, you have to be willing to just wipe its memory.
But I mean, are we just becoming babysitters for AI? Constantly typing slash clear and forcing it to do the senior level work it wants to skip?
It feels like that sometimes, but it's a necessary evolution. Cursor actually tracks this with a metric called the keep rate, how much AI code survives human editing.
And pushing that rate up is a constant battle, right?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. They call it model harness fit because every time a new AI model drops, it behaves differently and breaks the previous tool harness. You're constantly rebuilding the guardrails.
But when it works, it changes the culture. Protodash even has a review mode reflecting Stripe's tradition of giving feedback via Google Docs tables. They literally encoded their culture into the AI.
Which proves AI is only as good as the boundaries you put around it.
Exactly. But, okay, once you successfully encode that discipline into the software, you want to scale it. And scaling AI doesn't just happen in the cloud. It crashes directly into hard physical reality.
The physical costs are staggering.
Truly. We've got a leak from the TLDR newsletter about SpaceX. They spent over $15 billion on Starship, with capital expenditures surging to $20.7 billion in 2025.
Yeah.
And a massive $12.7 billion of that was just for AI initiatives.
$12.7 billion just on AI.
Yeah. And Meta is acquiring a humanoid robot startup, Assured Robot Intelligence. Investors are skeptical, but they're trying to optimize models for the physical world.
Because the physical world is messy. Processing gravity and balance takes exponential compute compared to just text. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, AI is exiting the purely digital realm.
Right, like ByteDance's and New Labs using AI to design a therapy for an undruggable protein interaction.
Exactly. But all of this requires massive electricity. The U.S. power grid was already struggling, and now power access is the critical bottleneck. It's forcing fast deployment of solar and batteries.
Which explains why teams are so aggressively focused on efficiency. There was a study on ML feature bloat showing that pruning low signal features out of models actually drops latency by 34% and improves accuracy.
Because less data means faster matrix math?
Right. It makes total sense. When you look at SpaceX dropping $13 billion or the whole U.S. power grid groaning, optimizing your code is like tuning a race car. Because the fuel costs are literally astronomical.
We saw Stripe do this with their DocDB zero downtime migration. Ruthless software efficiency is required just to keep the lights on.
So we've seen how developers enforce discipline, and we've seen the massive physical costs. But when this technology reaches peak scale, who ultimately controls it on a geopolitical level?
This is where the ethical complexities really come into play.
Yeah. And I want to be clear for the listener, we are not taking sides here. We're just impartially reporting what's in the Mindstream newsletter. But Google Gemini just became the third major AI lab to supply the Pentagon for, quote, lawful government purpose.
And the details of that deal are intense. It allows the Pentagon to adjust AI safety settings. Google has no veto power over how it's used.
The only prohibition is on autonomous weapons. But even that has a loophole. It's only prohibited if there's no human oversight. Over 600 Google employees actually dissented and urged Sundar Pichai to reject it.
But he approved it anyway.
Less than a day later.
Yeah.
Contrast that with Anthropic. They refused a similar deal. And because they walked away, the U.S. government labeled them a supply chain risk.
Which is ironic, considering Anthropic just launched a Claude security beta specifically to patch enterprise code vulnerabilities.
Right. So what does this all mean for you, the listener? We have these ultra-capable systems, but the ultimate guardrails are basically being negotiated behind closed doors by a few CEOs and the military.
This raises an important question about systemic risk. The TLDR newsletter had a great theory on this called Smart Planners versus Simple Markets.
Walk us through that.
So multi-agent AI systems act like central planners. Even if individual agents are highly competent, if the foundational subtasks are flawed, the entire system will execute flawlessly to the wrong conclusion.
Because they lack local human market context.
Exactly. In a military or enterprise setting, if the foundational rules are wrong, the final answer will be disastrous. It really highlights why prompt engineering has permanently shifted toward reliability and real consequences.
Wow. Okay, let's trace this journey back. We started with the looming chaos of 150,000 ungoverned AI agents in the corporate world. We looked at how developers are fighting back against Lurple slop with strict design rules.
And the toll booths.
Yes, the MCP server toll booths. Then we explored the multi-billion dollar physical toll on energy grids and finally examined the high-stakes ethical battleground of AI in the Pentagon.
It's a lot to process.
It is. But if you take away one thing, it's that whether you're a designer, a CEO, or just trying to navigate your inbox, you are now managing your own mini AI workforce. The defining skill of the next decade isn't just knowing how to use AI, it's knowing how to govern it.
And as we race toward that future of 150,000 corporate and military agents silently talking to each other, there's a final provocative thought from our sources.
Let's hear it.
An app called Shapes recently launched. It already has 400,000 users who spend hours a day chatting with AI characters, specifically to combat something called AI psychosis.
Wait, really? AI psychosis?
Yes. People are losing their grip on what's real. So the question is, at what point does human oversight stop being actual control and start becoming just a comforting illusion?
That is deeply unsettling, actually. Just the idea that we might just be watching the dashboard while the agents run everything. Well, submit them all over on your own. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.